We're gonna dance today, Rudy. No, a little bit maybe. Maybe. Mixed with salsa. Salsa. Okay, can you hear me very well or?
Yes.
Okay. Hallelujah. You guys can tell me and I can fix it. Oh, thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Okay, church, are we ready for the sermon today? It's going to be good. Simple story that you guys already know, but God put it in my heart, so I want to share with you guys today. It's nothing special, not a deep revelation or anything like that. Simple stuff. But I know any word from God is going to be a blessing anyway. It's going to be a transforming blessing in our life. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. Thank you for the provision, protection. Thank you. Again, everything. We appreciate you. We declare that you are here today, that you are blessing us, that you are transforming us through the word, and that you will continue building this relationship between you and us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to be here to speak to the church. Me personally, in my own flesh and body, I don't want to speak. I want you to speak. So please, be you speaking to the church. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. As you guys know, we are talking about immovable. That's the series that we're talking, and we are continuing today with a second subtopic. And I want to open with this question to you guys really quick. I'm not going to ask that question. While constructing a house, which building has the least weight? Do you guys know? While constructing a house, which building has the least weight? The lighthouse. Come on. You should know that. Also, maybe you, Kenny and Rudy, you guys have experience with that stuff, right? Okay, good. Today we're gonna talk about construction. Build. How we're gonna build ourselves internally. And the scripture is talking about that. Jesus Christ is talking about that. And as you guys know that we keep talking about immovable, I want to use as a reference the same verse so that way we can keep going back and forth with that verse and keep it in our head, which is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Let's keep thinking about that one, okay? That's immovable. That's the reason why we understand that we are immovable. Sometimes we think immovable like, oh, you have to be stationary. You cannot move from here. And sometimes we talk about, oh, we need to stand up. We have to run. We have to keep walking. You cannot be just steady over there without any movement. In this case, we are talking about when situations are happening in your life externally, that we are facing that every day, but you are not moving your faith. You keep moving and progressing with God and relationship with Him, but you're not moving your faith to another direction when something happened in your life. You're being immovable in that term. That's the reason of this topic. So in order to go through this building or build this relationship with God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, I'd like to go over Luke 6, 46 and 49. Luke chapter 6, 46, 49. You guys know this story. It's real. We should be familiar with this story. And we're going to talk about the wise and the foolish builders. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. So the first thing that I want to share over here, it is that effectiveness that we have with the Word of God, we can measure that in our daily basis. We can measure it when we are facing this situation in our life. We can say, whatever I learned, read, watch in a video, from a sermon, from the Word of God, whatever I receive, do I apply that in my life? And am I applying it or not applying it? Or I'm just not using that word, that scripture, and use it in the benefit to build this relationship with Christ. It's really tough because this is Jesus Christ talking. It's in red. You guys know that what is in red is Jesus Christ talking. So it's Jesus Christ saying, there's going to be people saying, Lord, Lord. I don't know for you guys, but for me, it's a little bit tough because you and I, we are Christian, and we are saying, Lord, Lord, we bless you. We worship you. We declare you are our Savior. We might be imposing hands, and then we are removing demons. We are doing miracles, manifestation, and everything like that. But Jesus Christ is saying here, I don't know you. I don't know. For me, it's kind of like, wow, it's tough. It's difficult because then you start challenging yourself and you start saying and asking yourself, do I have a good relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, that when I'm going to meet him in the final judgment day with him, he will say, I knew you. So the scripture over here, you can measure that in your daily life and you can say, yes, I'm applying that word of God in my daily life. When those situations happen in my life. Or maybe then when the situation happened and you didn't apply, you say, oh, that was my opportunity. I should apply love in that moment. I should love my neighbor in that moment. I should be patient in that moment, but I couldn't. And that's the moment that we need to understand, okay, let me, because something is going to happen again, let me try to see if I can apply it again, because that's going to be the fight. Against that situation, against you, against the flesh and everything. Because the priority here is going to be the relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. That when you get to that moment, he can say, I knew you. Pay attention. He never say, like, you knew me. And we can say, I know God. I know Jesus Christ. I cast demons or deliver people and everything like that. But he say, do I know you? Do I know your heart? Because I don't know if your heart is really with me right now. We're starting too rough, right? Sorry. My apologies. It's good. Okay. So that's how Jesus Christ started this conversation. Now, to understand a little bit more of the context of this, he's talking on the Mount, talking about the Beatitudes and everything like that, and then he gets to this point. And he's talking to them and say, again, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. The first point that I want to share with you guys today is going to be dig down deep. Dig down deep. And when we learn about digging, I don't know too much, but you guys maybe know more than me. Right now, at the company that I work for, we have a project, and we have a company, a third-party company, doing the replacement of the concrete right now. And I'm learning some stuff over there, and maybe we can apply it here. So number one, they are breaking the current concrete. Breaking it, all removal. But then we saw and we learned that they are putting a pile of sand in a corner. And we say, like, why they're not taking that away? Oh, because you guys are a company that manufacture with chemicals. So we need to be careful. Because maybe that sand or the dust, the dirt, it might be contaminated. So we have to process that differently. Now, what I'm learning from the scripture, applying that in the spirit, what Jesus Christ was saying, you have to dig down. You have to remove everything that is not from me. You have to dig down and remove all those experiences that you have, that you have in the past life, the previous life before Jesus Christ, that is still in you, affecting you, creating something that is in between you and God, that is not creating that relationship with you and God. And Jesus Christ is saying, you have to dig down. You have to remove everything, because when you're digging, you're removing that. Because that dust, that dirt, which is our flesh, that's where we come from, it might be contaminated. And I need to remove all the contaminants that you have in your life. And when you do that, when you're digging down and removing everything, when you do that, then you are looking to establish the foundation, to put a solid place, so that way when you're facing those situations in your life, you can be immovable. Hallelujah. So you're digging, removing everything, dig down deep. Now, when we go to the definition of that, it means to leave or move the dust and the dirt. And when we remove the dust or the dirt out of our life, anything that is not from Him, the sin, or maybe all those remembrances that we have, remembering all those bad stuff that happened in our life, we have to remove it. We have to clean our heart, our mind. And some of us, I'm including over there, some of us, we prefer to do the racking. We prefer just like the racking. Raking? Thank you. Appreciate it. Raking. So we prefer to just do raking. And right now at home, I have to do some work today, so I'm going to apply it. Because I make a bad decision. I start killing the weeds and everything, and it looks like I killed more than enough. So now my whole grass is all damaged. So I have to now dig deep, put new seeds, and start working on that. But some of us in the spiritual life, we are raking. But we're not digging in with shovel. And we need to get the shovel and we need to dig deep and remove those things in our life. We need to be careful with that. We need to learn how to remove those things. And I want to share with you guys Luke 13:6. Luke 13:6 says, "Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard." Thank you. "And he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, 'For 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down.'" Why should it use up the soil? So, smart guy, right? It's not producing. Let's just cut it down. Let's use the soil. Effectiveness. "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I will dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Mercy from God. And that's what God is doing in our life. He digs around us, removing that stuff that He wants to remove to build that relationship. And He's throwing fertilizer so that way we can build that relationship with Him. Now, that tree is you and me. He's doing around it, but you and I are responsible of our own tree, you and me. We need to dig down deep and remove everything that is not from Him. That's why He wants us to dig down deep. Another terminology for that is going to be the heavy food. The Bible is talking about heavy food. We already accept Jesus Christ years ago, years and years and years. And we already have a lot of experiences with Him and a lot of learning and teaching from His Word. We are ready for the solid food. We're no longer drinking milk because you and I, we're not babies anymore. We are stronger Christians that we should have a relationship with Him. But we have to be careful, because when you read the scripture, you know what? Let's go to Matthew, because Matthew is the parallel scripture of this one. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, and we're going to read 21. Matthew 7. Let me put it here. 7:21. It is the same scripture. It's just that you know that the Gospels, they always have some different point of view, because everyone wrote it a little bit different. It was a different person. Okay, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. A little bit different. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Chris was talking about that this morning. I don't talk with Chris about this sermon, just so you know. It's just a confirmation from God. So according to Jesus Christ here, he's saying the only person that is going to enter, the only person that is going to have a relationship with me is the person that is going to do the will of God. And when we read that and we understand it, we say, oh, okay, so what is the will of God? And some disciples ask that question to Jesus Christ. What I need to do to build that relationship? What I need to do so that way I can build that will of God in my life? Well, you have to just be a doer of his word, because it's already here what you need to do. And that's the situation. That when we are facing those things in our life, that's the opportunity from you and me to apply that word in our life. Okay, what it says, many will say to me, on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Yeah, I agree. It's an ouch. Because the important thing over here is that he's knowing you. Yeah, we know him. We can say that. And again, we can say, I, you know, in your name, I cast demons. That's the part that we have to be careful, because we need to understand that who is the glory here? The glory is all for God. It's from him. It's for him in all the time, for Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit. We are just like you were saying, we're just a vessel that is casting, like he's holding his purpose in the life right now here, that is doing the will of God over here. When you keep that humble heart and you applying his word, then he can say, I know you. Because you are a walking, doing all his will, which is applying his word. And because you are applying his word, it's like I say, oh, my word is walking over there. Because you are applying his word, it's not yours. If it's from us, we will be maybe doing a different situation or different decisions or doing our own will. But when we are doing his will, he can say, oh, I know that, because I spoke it. It's my word. He's applying it. He's using it in his favor to establish his glory. Okay, I always use this one when we finish, but let's go over there. James. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Sorry.
But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, hallelujah, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do.
Come on. The thing over here that it got my attention, it is when it says, anyone who listens to the word, 23, but does not do what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. You're listening to the word. According to the Bible, the faith is coming when you are listening to the word of God. You're listening to that. This is the scripture. This is the mirror. Oh, that's me. I have been created to be like this. That's what he's saying over here. And say, oh, that's I'm supposed to be like this. But then when I start walking out of the word of God and doing my other stuff in my life, I forget what I look like. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying over here. And that's why we need to apply it, not just being listeners. Apply it. Use it. You have the tool. You have the arms. He's giving it to you. So that way he can say, I know him. I know her. Hallelujah. Praise God. The second point that I want to share with you guys really quick is going to be the foundation. Lay the foundation on rock. Okay, we dig, we remove everything. Something that I got my attention out of this study, it is the definition of foundation in the original Greek when we're reading this in the New Testament. Foundation, it means destruction. So, whoa, what does that mean? So if I correlate everything together and I say, according to scripture, in Matthew and also Luke, when it's talking about the foundation on the rock, it says, when you are destroying everything that the enemy creates in your life, and you put that on the rock that according to the Bible is Jesus Christ, when we go to 1 Corinthians 10:4, it says, and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Just to specify that the scriptures, it says that the rock is Christ. So now, I destroyed everything in my life that is not from him. I remove everything from my heart, from my mind, destroy it, and then I put it on the in the foundation, which is the rock, is Christ. Now, I can build that house strong because everything it will be on him, not on me. So the enemy will create that, and he already created maybe in some of you guys and also in my life, he creates some things. But I destroy them, and we will continue destroying them and put it on the rock. Dig deep, remove everything. Destroy those things that the enemy built in your life and put that building, that destruction that you're removing out of your heart and your mind, on the rock. So that way when something happens, you will be unmovable. Luke 6. Verse 48. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it. Because it was well built. Maybe when we are feeling that shaking in our life, we might can see in that mirror and say, am I applying that word? Or I'm just a listener? I'm just trusting that word that I'm listening is going to do something. Or I'm really applying it. And I'm really using it. That's the moment that you need to challenge yourself. We need to challenge ourselves and say, I'm feeling shaking right now in this situation. And as everyone here knows, God is bigger than any situation. And you are with that God that is bigger than that situation that you are going through. But if you're feeling shaking, then what's going on? Because then you are literally saying or telling God, this situation is bigger than you. But then if I really have that applying in my life and say, this situation is not going to move me. This situation is going to continue building that relationship with you, God, with you, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. It's not going to move me. It's not going to move my faith because I built that on the rock. Hallelujah. The last and third point that I want to share with you guys today, it is laid on ground. When we put that on the ground, let's look what it says over here. But the one who hears my word and does not put them into practice is so simple, right? So specific. It's like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation, without the destruction, without removing the things that the enemy is building in our life. We need to remove everything from him, from the enemy of our souls. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. And that's what happened in our life when we feel those moments in our life that shake you, move you out of your faith, out of your position of being solid, trusting in him, that any way something is not quite right the way that you want it, he got it. He's controlling that. But how are you digging deep and removing everything? How are you putting the stuff on the rock? Or are you putting it on ground without the foundation? And you're keeping the old foundation in your life. It's time to decide to remove everything from the enemy, from our hearts, from our mind, so that way he can build that strong life in us, that relationship that is not going to move us. Let's go to Matthew again. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. Now he's talking about a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall. Hallelujah. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not, sorry, it's the word of God that touched me. It's amazing. Because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Thank you. So before this, he was talking about the disciples, and he's talking to us right now, saying, if you want to have a relationship with me that I can say I know you, apply it. I know sometimes, and we have to be careful with this. I don't want to say that other people, other ministry are doing something wrong. I don't know. My only responsibility is try to build a relationship with God and continue there. And also helping each other to have, as a community, as a church, to continue to have a solid relationship between us. because the enemy, that's his purpose. He's always going to try to divide, separate, break us. That's his responsibility. My responsibility is to not make that happen with me, with you, with everyone else. Saving our hearts. So that way I can continue building that relationship with him. So when you read the scripture and Jesus Christ is talking about that and say, you're going to say, Lord and Lord. And you're going to see manifestations, deliverance of demons, people running, maybe speaking in tongues. That's fine. I'm not saying anything against that. But we have to be careful because I think one of the most important things here is the relationship. The relationship that we have with him. Those things will happen because he wants to, and maybe he will do it because he wants to. And it's his glory. It's him manifesting everything. But you and I, where is our hearts? Is the question. Because I think we have to make sure that he say he know you. According to what it says over here. We have to make sure that he say I know you. I know your heart. Because he say over here, the people will come and say, I deliver in your name. I did this in your name. I did this and that in your name. And you don't know me? Because the heart. And then after that, he say, this is the way. Apply the word. And that will build that relationship. Nothing will move you. That will build that relationship. And then I can say, yeah, I know you. I know him. I know her. He's talking about the prudent or wise. Proverbs 10:19, it says, sin is not ended by multiplying words. But the prudent hold tongues. Proverbs 11:12, it says, whoever derides, help me, thank you, their neighbor has no sense. But the one who has understanding holds their tongue. The other person that is talking Jesus Christ over here is the foolish, which is also in Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom and instruction. Do not despise it. Apply it. Be a doer. 2 Timothy 2:15, I'm going to leave you with this one. Do your best. I'm sorry. I start crying because the word of God is so beautiful. That's what it helped me to continue my daily life. The word of God. It's him. It's walking. It's his spirit. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. How you and I are handling the word of God right now. Just a listener? Despising his word and just walking around, going back to our normal life. Oh, we're really walking on this word. Are we really applying the word of God that we are listening? Trusting in him. Use it. Apply it. That will be that knowledge, that relationship, and he will know you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. We worship you. We praise you. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your life. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. Thank you because we give you all the glory. We worship you, we praise you, and we declare that you are here and that you are blessing our hearts. Please, continue helping us. Helping us to continue living a life that you want us to live so that way we can grow in you. Holy Spirit, touch our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Remove, in the name of Jesus Christ, remove anything that is from the evil one,
from the enemies of our soul. We declare deliverance in our hearts, in our mind right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we receive your blessing, your peace. And we receive your revelation of the word of God. And we're going to apply it in our life. We're not just going to be a listeners. We're going to be a doers. Thank you for this blessing. Thank you for this opportunity. Continue blessing the church. Continue blessing everyone, their petitions, their needs. And we will continue giving all the glory to you because it's you making everything happen. We worship you, we praise you, and we declare everything here in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Like always, we're going to praise here, the last song. But the altar is always open. You know that. It's him, not me. If you feel something, if you feel like a touch from God that you want to come over and praise him, please feel free. It's open for everyone. Amen? Amen.
Would you stand with us? As John had mentioned earlier, him and my dad and myself, we don't coordinate when things like this happen. But I find it so sweet of the Lord to put everything together in his intricate plan. And sometimes we don't recognize it. Sometimes we look over it and think, oh, that was just a cool coincidence. But I have learned to recognize that last night when the Lord put it on my heart to choose Build My Life as the last song that we would sing today, that's not a chance. That's not some coincidence. That's an opportunity that he's giving us as his children to make this statement that, Lord, we will build our life on you, our rock and our solid foundation. So let's sing this together.